Will you bow with me as we pray? Gracious God, it is good to be here. It is good to be in your presence. It is good to be among friends. It is good to be in this place where we can stop and pause and seek your peace from the worries of this world. We have another week again in which our lives and the world have been turned upside down with yet another hurricane and more shootings and more death and more confusion. And so now, Lord, more than ever, we need you. We need your love. We need your wisdom. We need the hope that we find in you. So may your Spirit move among us, opening us to your presence, opening us to your words that have been read and now proclaimed. So by your Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we are beginning what comes on the heels of our Soul Shift series, and I hope kind of continues in some of that vein that, a couple people have said, okay, now that we're done, is this going to be one of those things that we just leave behind us and move on to other stuff? And my answer is, I hope not. I hope that these lessons that we've talked about, the things that we've learned through Soul Shift, will be things that we continue to wrestle with, continue to seek God's guidance in our lives and as a church about how we can continue to move forward. But also, Curtis and I, in our planning of sermons over the next year, are looking at how do we intentionally come back and revisit some of those ideas. How do we touch back and reconnect with what it means to move from me to you, or me to we, or from consumer to steward. And for the time of year we're in, our finance team is working on our budget, and so today begins our stewardship series. And I'm hoping that rather than, okay, stopping one thing and starting something new, we're going to continue in that vein. And our series is titled, What If? Now, that statement, what if, is one that, as I see it, is asking two circumstances. The first is one that's driven by fear. What if a tornado comes? What if a flood comes? What if the tire goes flat on the car? What if I get sick? What if we have an expense that we can't handle? And so there's this anxiety, worry-driven asking of this question, what if? But there's also a hopeful longing, looking down the road, what if? What if the whole family can make it home for Christmas this year? What if I get accepted into the college that I really want to go to? What if I get that promotion or that new job that I want? What if the treatment works and I'm cured? And so we're going to be looking at this what if statement over the next couple weeks in relationship to stewardship. Because too often stewardship is about, all right, I've got this certain amount of stuff that's within my sphere of control. And stewardship is about how I use this stuff. But I feel like what we need to do is step back from stewardship and begin thinking about what motivates us as a steward. Because I could have a big pile of stuff that I feel like I'm entrusted with, and I can dole out bits and pieces of it and pat myself on the back for doing a good job. But if it isn't my love of God and my love of my neighbor that's prompting me to do it, then maybe I'm not doing it for the right reason. And so I'm hoping that our stewardship series this fall is a look at that what if. What if we got serious about growing closer to God? What if we were all in? There's a slide that's going to come up, and if you flip your bulletins over on the back where the sermon notes are, you'll see this little scale at the bottom of your bulletin. There's another slide that's going to come up here with a question for you. How well is Central UMC doing at keeping the Great Commandment? That great commandment that we just heard read in Matthew of you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So as a church, as a congregation, where would you put us? There are pencils in the pews. If you have a pen, take a minute and think of it as a continuum. You don't have to circle one of those. That's just kind of give you an idea of what the spectrum are. Put some kind of a mark on that line where you think Central is at right now. All right. On that same grid, keep it right there. Keep your pencil handy. I'm going to change the question on you a little bit. How well are you doing at keeping the great commandment? You've answered how you think we as a church are doing, but now this is a personal question. How do you feel like you're doing at keeping this great commandment that Jesus gave us? All right, hang on to those. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. So, when I was in high school and junior high, my absolute favorite sport, the only sport that I did all of the years of junior high and all the way through high school, was wrestling. And the reason that I'm a wrestler is that my basketball skills were so good that wrestling was the only option available to me. All my friends played basketball. I was one of two people that got cut in seventh grade, so hey, let's try wrestling. I grew to love wrestling. And one of the things is that wrestling fit very well with my personality and how I'm wired. Because I was the kind of person that in school and through college, when I had a group project to do, my preference would have been to just do it all by myself and maybe bring a couple other people along for the ride. And so wrestling fit my personality. Wrestling was a sport where when it came down to win or lose was between me and the person I was wrestling against. Now, wrestling is also a team sport because how I did as an individual in my particular match contributed to the team score. And so, yes, I was a part of a team, but it really worked well with that individual part of who I am. And there are a number of sports that are like that. I know we've got swimmers in here because I've got one, and I see another one here, another one over there, another one over here. We've got runners. We've got golfers. We've got people that understand that kind of a dynamic where you're in a competition where really it comes down to what you're doing, but you're also a part of a larger whole. Now, looking back through this Soul Shift series, there was a fairly strong individual focus on this because it came down to where do you feel like God is nudging you and pushing you and moving you in your spiritual life? Where does your soul need to experience that shift to bring you more in line with who God created you to be, of who God is calling you to be? But if you look in the back of your bulletin and those marks that you made, did you rate yourself higher than the church, or did you rate the church higher than yourself? Did you put both those marks at the same place? I think that being a part of the church is kind of like those sports that I've mentioned. That on the one hand, there is an individual component to us, because each of us are unique in who we are, in how we're made. Each of us are unique in the things that we need to be stretched in, the things that we need to grow in our lives. Now, ultimately, we're a part of a larger community. We're a part of the church. We're a part of the body of Christ. And ultimately, while I want to see every one of you grow, I want to see Central succeed as well. And I think that the great commandment that Jesus gave is the bare minimum of what we need to use for our standard of how are we doing. So are we fulfilling that great commandment 100% of the time? Probably not. But that's the goal. So on that continuum, on that spectrum of moving from not at all to all in, how do we move the needle? How do we move that mark for Central as a congregation? My belief is that the way that we move the needle for Central is that for all of us, to move our individual needle. Because if each of us start doing this a little bit better, collectively as a church, we're going to do this better. And so we're in it together, but each of us have a contribution to make. Now, on this spectrum, hypothetically, let's say that Central's dead center. If you're over here, close to the not at all, what you do does still matter. Because taking one step in that right direction, finding one way where you can begin saying, you know what, I can love God a little bit more seriously in this aspect of my life. I can love others a little bit more completely by doing this. We begin to stretch ourselves and we begin pushing in that direction. And as we move, hopefully that helps others to move as well. Now, again, hypothetically, if Central's dead center in there, and you think, you know what, I'm over there past the mostly part, I'm probably bumping up against the all-in, doesn't mean you're off the hook. Doesn't mean you've already done your part. Because if you're on the front end of that, then your church needs you. Central needs you. The church, the body of Christ of all believers needs you. Because when you're out there on that front end, then that means you should be leading. That means you should be calling back to others and encouraging them and helping them in this journey as well. And yes, there are things that no matter how far you are and how close you are to that end of loving God and loving your neighbor, we can always do better. But it takes a commitment. It takes an investment of ourselves. It takes us being serious about saying, you know what? When Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all, and Jesus named all of the parts that compose a complete person. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all, it meant that we can't cherry pick. We can't say, well, you know, when it comes to my prayer time, I'm giving 100% of that to God. But, you know, down here, how I spend my recreational time, I'm not letting go of that. I'm keeping that off to myself. That's not all. But yet, the commandment is that we love God with all that we are. And so part of this, then, is taking some stock of your life, of how you use your time and your energy and your resources, and asking, is doing this, is spending time here, is surrounding myself with these activities, these people, these whatever, am I loving God by doing this? And if we're honest, most of us probably have something in our life that if we ask ourselves that question seriously, we'd have to say, no, I'm not. And so being all in means saying that, yes, God, I am serious, and I want to do a better job of loving you with all that I am. All of myself, all of the things that I have control over. And likewise, Jesus said that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. We've talked about this passage before, and that whole idea of how well we love ourselves is really the hard part of that. But who is the other? That's part of what we talked about through this Soul Shift series. The shift from being focused on ourselves to being focused on you. The move from being selfish and individualistic in some ways to being focused on community and corporate things is part of that shift that we were challenged to make. And a shift that in the discussions that I had, we recognized isn't always easy. Because loving people that are the most like us is often pretty easy. But the more different that someone is from us, often the more challenging it becomes. And so what does it mean then for us to be a steward that is all in for God? I'm not going to set numbers before you and say, well, if you give X amount or a certain percentage, then that means you're all in. No, it's about the attitude of your heart. It's about you recognizing that each of us is blessed. And that stewardship is about offering our full selves to God and asking, how can I serve God? How can I glorify God? How can I be the most like the person God created me to be in the way that I live? God did not create us to live broken lives. God did not create us to live in a relationship with Him where we don't show up, where we don't spend the time seeking His word and His will. God created us for relationships. God created us for a relationship with Him and with the people that you see sitting around you. And so to say that we're all in is to take that first step and say, Jesus, you've given me 2 commandments. We'll group them together and call them the Great Commandment. And so our assignment, our task, our job as the body of Christ is to love God completely and to love others. We've got a mission statement, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But it comes second to this. We're called first to love God and love our neighbor. And the better job that you and I and we as a church do of keeping that commandment, the better job we'll do of making disciples. We've got a vision statement that says that we want to be a church where people connect, grow, and serve at Central, because Jesus is central. Part of making Jesus central is to take Him at His word, to trust that commandment that He's given us, and to do it. And we can talk about what mission and vision look like for our church, but this is the foundational piece. This is where the rubber meets the road. How well are we loving God and loving others? Because everything else that we do is built upon that. I've seen far too many churches, far too many Christians that, as the saying goes, major in the minors. We focus on minutiae, we focus on little things, and we miss the mark of the biggest thing, of loving God and loving one another. But that's what God has called us to do. To love Him. To love our neighbor. And the better we do that, I believe the better everything else will work out. In our lives, in our church, and in this world. Love. Love is the key. And so rather than stewardship being managing stuff, let's spend our time figuring out how to get a handle on the love that we're called to, because the stuff will fall in place. Amen.